Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know, and fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass, and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of the wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree, and they will grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will bear fruit in old age, and they stay fresh and green. Proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him.
It has become part of my rhythm of life to pray a psalm in the morning during my prayers for some time now. Most mornings, I sit at the desk in my second story room, staring out the window, overlooking my neighborhood in Clarkston. Sometimes it seems that my anxious mind begins to wander even before I wake up. So once I am still at my desk, my body and mind struggling to harmonize, it is the Psalms that form the first words of the morning, calling me to the present, where I will meet God if I open my heart, mind, soul, and body to God's Spirit. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning. With their descriptive imagery, insightful introspection, and the uncensored sinfulness and righteousness of its authors, the Psalms guide us beyond the prose of history by way of the author's awareness of the present. Their humanity proves transcendent as they unbind the poetry within. At my window, I can see children from all over the world walking to the neighborhood school, their neat, pale yellow uniforms accentuating the diversity of skin tones that make them look anything but uniform. The sound of parents calling out to kids in different languages adds to the bustle of the daily communal journey, the pitter-patter of children running to catch up with friends, friends from different cultures holding hands and swinging and skipping, laughing and playing all the way to school. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Honking vans roll in to pick up workers for the chicken plants. Men and women get onto a van to drive an hour or two to work long hours at low pay. Everyone is bundled up, even though it's 80 degrees outside and it's going to be 90 later that afternoon. But the meat processing plants are cold. The work is hard and fast and requires people to stand with few breaks for the entirety of their shift. My friend and former housemate's job is to move heavy boxes quickly all day onto the assembly line. The constant motion has taken a toll on his body. Often we would eat breakfast together after he returned from night shift. And after breakfast, his mom would massage icy hot into his shoulder and back to give him some relief from the pain. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you, when my heart is faint. Life with the Psalms brings us face to face with the brokenness of the world around us. As I spent time with the psalmists and listened to them confronting life in their world, I began my own encounter with the world around me. A few experiences have continued to shape how I relate to the Psalms. Throughout my late teens and early 20s, Psalm 42 became the cry of my heart as I wrestled with an anxiety disorder that had become more than I could manage on my own. When my anxious thoughts felt uncontrollable, the words of this psalm gave me a voice when I could not find my own. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise God. Another was on Sunday evenings during my senior year at Lipscomb. During that year, I was part of a small community of prayer that met at Riverbend Prison. As we said evening prayers from the Book of Common Prayer, it was the Psalms that gave insiders and outsiders one voice. Out of these shared prayers, we found friendship that redeemed and healed us from our sinfulness. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly of my iniquity and cleanse me from every sin. Finally, during my stay in Palestine, I had a small book on the Psalms that a friend had given me. My friend John and I often wondered if David might have walked his sheep through the valley behind our apartment in Beit Sahur, a small town right down the road from Bethlehem. Often a shepherd would bring his flock through the small olive grove outside our apartment, so it didn't seem like such a stretch that David might have done the same. But as I read the Psalms and their cries for deliverance and liberation, there was no doubt that these words were meant for that land. Passing through the checkpoints at the separation wall that surrounds the West Bank, I felt the oppressive nature of occupation. I could hear the groans of exhausted Palestinian men and women as they were herded through the processing of paperwork and metal detectors and searches that were required for traveling outside the wall. The little book of Psalms my friend had given me became prayers that connected me with the God that has and will liberate those who are captive and oppressed. Deliver me, O Lord, from evildoers. Protect me from those who are violent, who plan evil things in their minds and stir up wars continually. They make their tongues sharp as snakes, and under their lips is the venom of vipers. Whether in my own darkness and fear, or through the healing common prayers at a prison, or in a land familiar to the psalmist that still struggles with the weight of oppression and hostility, the Psalms seem to be forcing me to grapple with the broken world around me. So now, as I pray next to my window in Clarkston, I am confronted with the destructive nature of war every day. My neighbors have moved away from their homes and communities because of the evils of violence and greed. Many of my neighbors from Burma were forced to flee through the jungle to the Thai border to find camps where they would be safe from the Burmese government. Some of my Iraqi neighbors have experienced displacement from their homelands because of war, only to be yet again uprooted by the violence in Syria. My neighbors from Burundi have experienced the brutality of a conflict driven by ethnic division between Hutus and Tutsis that has taken the lives of hundreds of thousands throughout the history of Burundi and Rwanda. Though they did not succeed in killing them, the powerful in these countries have disregarded them and left them for dead. Everyone has been traumatized by being treated less than human. as I despair with my neighbors at the life that was taken from them and the injustice they encounter in their new community, the lingering cry of the psalmist becomes our prayer together. How long, God? How long? How long will wars be fought for the sake of peace? And how long will you allow that insidious lie to disguise the true purpose of profit that drives the war-making industry? How long will the economy of greed that values the interests of corporations over the lives of people profit off the poor while the rich gain more wealth and power? How long will gun violence rob our neighborhoods, classrooms, homes, and places of worship of precious lives? How long will my neighbors go without health care because their new community is unwilling to share their resources? How long will children be locked up, families broken up, communities crippled, and the lives of young people subjected to a failing criminal justice system in which punishment is imposed, rather than working together to solve problems? How long till you intervene? How long till you stop the insane cycle of violence that keeps our world in a perpetual war that only breeds more war? How long, God? How long? This week, our after-school program started up in our new location in Willow Branch Apartments, where I live. Allie has worked hard to get this new program up and running. We are excited to welcome 65 of our neighbors to share in the experience of learning together, building friendships, and dreaming of a better world where there's a better place to play. I have already made some new friends and learned some things myself. The first thing to greet you at after school is the many smiling faces that give life to our little learning community. No smile is the same. Some are those ear-to-ear grins, while others shyly capture the sincerity of happiness and their subtlety. Some are loud, and some have crooked teeth like mine. Some are hoping for attention, but others are trying their best not to let anyone know that they're having fun. The smiles of my neighbors have become a sign of the resiliency of life in a world that tried its best to take it from them. Parents in my neighborhood work the long hours because they are finding hope in their child's future. Working at the chicken plant is not a menial job, but a courageous act of resistance against the death-dealing powers of this world. Their bold humility proving day after day more powerful than the greatest weapon of their enemies. Lives are being raised to new life, and the resurrected community is on parade in their pale yellow uniforms outside my window. I waited patiently for the Lord. God inclined to me and heard my cry. God drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. God put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. A new song is being sung outside my window. It's being sung in a symphony of different languages. The stories that they sing about recount a faith of a people delivered from evil to new life and with an eternal hope. They sing of a God who is faithful and who has never been defeated, not even when he faced death. I have come down from my window now to join the procession and learn this new song. Join us in putting your faith and your trust in the Lord. Now there is an opportunity for those who would like to respond, to come forward as we stand and sing.